Happy New Year to everyone. Well, here we go. Are you all ready? Who's all ready for it? No, for the sermon, for it, for the year. Praise God. I think of myself, to the dread of some people, I think of myself as an overly optimistic person. I tend to see myself as a kind of hope-filled personality. I like the good news stuff. I'm not so interested in the bad news. I like the good news stuff. And so for me, seeing in the new year is actually a time when I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to everything that lies ahead for myself, for my family, for my church. And yet many people have the experience of living in unstable, chaotic times. But I believe we as the church, we can continue to place our hope in a steadfast God. Praise God that we can. We know He who holds the future, do we not? We sometimes sing it, don't we? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, hallelujah. We know ultimately the end of the story. We know how it plays out, and that gives us, as believers, this incredible opportunity. Well, I believe it does. This amazing opportunity to show those around us what it's like to face the same challenges that they are facing, but to do so alongside a loving, powerful God. Praise God. My challenge to Moss Vale for 2024, and part of what we're adopting into our vision, and it should be our vision forever actually, is just how much we are prepared. How much you and I are prepared to testify to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, regardless of what is happening in our personal lives or what is happening in the world all around us. What an incredible opportunity to testify to the goodness of God. What an amazing opportunity to witness to the goodness of God. I believe we have a wonderful chance to show this world a different way. A very different way. A way that's very contrary to the way the world is going right now. The way of grace. The way of love. The way of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to make a difference. And in the middle of all that, for His church to be united in our mission to a world that is completely divided. It is undoubtedly the greatest challenge of our lives, not only to sing, stand up for Jesus, but to stand up for Jesus on a day-to-day basis. To stand up for Christ and proclaim Him in our community as Lord of all. But for you and I, it is also the greatest reassurance and joy to know that nothing shall ever rob us of His presence. Nothing can take that away from us. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, it seems a while ago now, at Christmas time, we sang and celebrated that the baby to be born would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The book of Matthew ends, though, with something called the Great Commission, and that the assurance that He, Jesus, is still with them and will be with us until the end of time. So church, whatever this year holds for us, here's the wonderful thing. We're never alone in anything we do, in anything we plan, in anywhere we go. We can face it in the solace and sureness of His unwavering presence. Praise God that we can. Some may not know this, but in 2025, we've been here for 50 years. We look at years is an anniversary. 50 years is our year of Jubilee here at Moss Vale, and we're already starting to plan and consider what that might look like for us in the year after this one. But here we are. We've got a whole year before we get there. 2024, here's the vision, here's the goal, here's the dream for us. I desire to see the church reaching out to the community around about us, to the lost, to the hurting, to the lonely. It's something we should always be doing. But sometimes we get a little bit inward, and sometimes we get a little bit complacent. It's time once again to start reaching out to those who really need to hear the good news. And let me tell you something, in the world we're living in, we need some good news. And the greatest news is the gospel news. It is the gospel message that Jesus Christ is alive. But we also must reach out to those who are happy already. And those who are already contented, because they too need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to really see Mossvale Church fulfilling the Great Commission in our day. Amen. Praise God. Now let me be clear about this. I'm not here trying to build some monument to men. I'm here trying to see the kingdom of God come beautifully in our community. I don't want more people in this church just to see more people in the church. We have very many successful ministries. This is not the commission to fill seats or offering boxes or sell coffees in the Mossy Cafe. That's not the commission we're talking about. This is because the cold and hard truth is today there is a world outside our doors that still needs to know about Jesus. You come along here to our school services and you'll realize just how ignorant people are now of the gospel, of the name Jesus. Therefore, we need to be on it and with it and going for it regarding what we've been called to do. And again, the Great Commission's not for the pastors, no. It is, but it's for the church to be about our Father's business. And if we don't think that these people need to hear the gospel, if you think that if they actually needed God in their lives, that they can or they could find their own path somewhere out there, or that this is a calling only for the chosen or for the elect, then I'll tell you a truth, I have failed. I have failed you somehow as your pastor, as your leader and teacher. Why? Because let me tell you what the Word of God says very, very clearly. First of all, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14:6, Jesus says, truly I tell you, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The only way to the Father is through the Son. 2 Peter 3:9, listen, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come directly to repentance. Amen. The Word of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful? My goodness, what a thought. Wouldn't it be wonderful this year if we stopped talking about it and really went for it? Oh, it's very quiet. Very quiet. Some of this was stirred in my heart because of the lack of interest in this church about evangelism during December. Oh, can I say that? That's not condemning. That's not punishment. That's not chastisement. That's fact. We are all called to be about our Father's business in the world today. We're all called to talk the talk about Jesus Christ and to live the life out before all men. It's part of our God-given responsibility. So what if we actually, as the entire church, what if we went for it and in doing so began to see a great change throughout our land for the kingdom and for the glory of God? What a possibility. What a possibility. I want to encourage now. I want to encourage each one of us to have a much greater passion, a deeper confidence, a larger boldness in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with our family. And I know that can be tough, with our friends, with our communities this year. I will tell you a fact, I embarrass some people in here. Because every single person, and you'll hear me in the cafe, who walks through the door, whether you're the postman, whether you're the electrician, whether you're the pest control guy, the first thing I say is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And if some of you don't know what that is, that's the time we start church on Sunday morning. God have mercy. So I'm going to stay in here for a few weeks, and this, is that okay? Try and stimulate us, inspire us. The hows and whens. But today I want just to give you a wee outline in what you and I are coming up against in the world today. And my, we are up against it. But greater is He. Greater is He. His church was meant to be a victorious church, to be different from the world. And that is the contradiction we want to be. Jesus was the entire contradiction to everything and everybody because of what He did and what He says. It's time that we stood up for Jesus and we're exactly the same contradiction. So I want to say this. I believe we should have hope. Amen. I believe we should have faith. Praise God. Because listen to me now. There are those who will receive the gospel for what it is, the words of eternal life. There are those out there waiting, ready to hear what we have to say. Not everyone you share the gospel with will have hardened hearts. Not everyone. So why is it then, Pastor, that one person responds to the gospel and is deeply moved? And all they can think about now is talking and sharing Christ with others while this, at the same time the other person seems completely unmoved by what Jesus did for them. You may find one person moved by tears, by the gospel, and another person cold and distant. You see, not everyone responded the same way to Jesus' message. Not everyone did. Do you notice in evangelism that some people respond enthusiastically and another is a hardened heart, or they become even antagonistic to what you've got to say? Some thought Jesus was the Son of God. Some thought He was the awaited Messiah. There were others, though, that thought Jesus was the deceiver. There were some that called Jesus the devil. We have to ask ourselves, Pastor, then, why do people respond so differently? Well, I believe Jesus shed some light on this in the parable of the sower. This parable gives insight on the various conditions of the heart. And for the next 10, 15 minutes or so, I don't know why I'm saying time. It means nothing. Matthew 13, we're going to stay in here and look at that. And you might think, well, this is a bizarre start to the year, Pastor. So I'm going to force something a little bit this year. I'm not going to use PowerPoints. I'm going to use my Bible. I want to encourage you to get your apps open. And if you've not got a Bible, your phone should be on your app, or else you need to get born again. Follow along. Thank you, Stephen. You're the only one that gets my jokes in here. Jesus came out of a house along the Sea of Galilee, or in Matthew 13. There was such a large crowd that gathered to listen to Jesus that He is now preaching from a boat to the people on the shore. Now, the large crowd was there and they're listening to Jesus. Let me tell you, it's a good thing to tune your voice in to the voice of Jesus. But we have to ask ourselves on the shore, what kind of hearers were there? And what kind of hearers are here today? And in this parable, Jesus tells us about four ways that people respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is one of the parables that Jesus interprets Himself. It tells how truth enters or fails to enter into the hearts of men. And Jesus uses an everyday truth of a farmer sowing seed. And here is what we find out about what Jesus really means when He tells us the story of the farmer sowing seed. We have to learn this first of all. The sower, number one, the sower is the one who preaches the gospel, amen. The seed is the soil, hallelujah. And the soils are the conditions of the hearts of men. And the main point of the parable is the effect of the gospel is determined by the heart of the hearer. Wow. Because this is the main point. Some people like to call this the parable of the soils. But Jesus called this the parable of the sower in verse 18 when he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. You have to ask yourself, why do preachers or pastors of the gospel get discouraged? Hallelujah. I'll tell you why. It's because they have been given the most important of all messages to present. The most important message in all the world. And yet so many people today have so little regard for it. Listen to this. If you had the cure to cancer, you would tell everyone about it. Everyone. Listen, please. But it would be discouraging if no one acted then on that message. But I believe there is an encouragement to all who share the gospel from the parable of the sower. Hear me now. Not everyone will respond to my message. Not everyone will hear or respond to your message. But the encouragement is this. Some will. Some will. And that is something for you and I to be encouraged about. You can expect people to respond in a variety of different ways. So the first person we meet in the parable is this person. He, for those taking notes, he is the hard-hearted hearer. The hard-hearted hearer. Ooh, that sounds awful. Matthew 13, verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Later on in verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. We sometimes speak of someone as being hard-hearted. And we're all going to know people who are hard-hearted. It's like nothing affects them. It's like they're emotionally disconnected. You talk to them and your heart is breaking and it's like a wall. There's nothing taking place. You just can't get a message or the message into their hearts. This kind of person is represented in the parable by the trodden path. This is the person who is closed to the gospel. They may have a million different reasons, but the bottom line is that this is a person that is not interested to receive the gospel currently. Currently. See, even with that person, have hope. Have hope, because that could be a family member. And God's promised us household salvation, amen. Have hope, have faith in Jesus regarding that person. Why should we have hope? Why should we have faith? I'll tell you why. Because the God I serve can remove the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. Praise God. We find in verse 4 that some of the seed fell along the path. The path is hard. It's not easily penetrated. So the birds came and ate the seed sown along the path. Listen to me now. Paths along the field, they become trampled by foot. And soon these paths become as hard as a pavement. So let me ask you this. What if you planted a seed in the car park? Would you expect any crops from that seed? That's not the kind of soil that will support the seed to sprout and grow into a mature plant. It's not going to happen. So hear this. The path is the hard heart of men. Scripture says the bird is the devil that snatches away the gospel. The heart often becomes hard over years. One of the most devastating things you will see in a church is someone who served Jesus, was passionate about Jesus, loved the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind, and slowly over a process, for some reason after another, their heart became cold to the gospel. Their heart became cold to Jesus, and before knowing it, their heart had hardened. Even though they'd known that first love of Jesus Christ. And so often when someone in church gets to that place, it's very hard to penetrate. It's very hard to get back in and see what God can do there. So after rejecting the gospel so many times, the heart becomes hardened. And listen to me, church, today. There are so many people, so many people who've hardened their heart to the gospel. They've become too hard-hearted to respond to the message of Jesus. They are the ones that for you and I can somehow make evangelism a little bit unpleasant. It's a dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing when a young person thinks, I am young. I am young, so I will live my life according to the world's ways. And then later in my life, receive Christ. Let me tell you something about this. They may come to find out the moment of opportunity is past for them as they become so hard-hearted. Satan can snatch the gospel from them as easy as the birds eat the seeds that fall upon the path that is hard. The hard-hearted hearer. Then we meet the shallow hearers. Oh, my word. The superficiality, the shallowness of many, not in the world, but in the church. Those who don't want to go a little bit deeper, have greater intimacy with the Holy Spirit, happy to keep things on the surface. Look at what Matthew chapter 13, 5, 6 says. Some fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Later on in verses 20, 21, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Oh. But since he has no root, he lasts only for a little while. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. See, some seeds will fall on rocky soil where the earth covers the rock. And the seeds can't go deep. These seeds germinate quickly and spring up very fast. But look at the scripture. When the sun comes out, there is no substance at all. The plant therefore withers and dies. The roots never really penetrated or got into the good soil. I wonder how many of us know that person, that individual, that impulsive person. That emotional person. First, let me explain it this way, because it's New Year, and I'm sure you've made a few New Year resolutions. The impulsive person. First, they take up jogging. And they go out and buy a pair of Nike trainers. And to look really cool, everyone's now buying the headphones so you can run. So fine. Or the smartwatch, it can't be that smart. They got up one morning, this is how they work. They got up one morning, they drink a raw egg smoothie. They're right into it, I think they're rocky. Jog 3 miles. The next morning, it's raining. Oh, yes, sir. And they're sore and tired and quit. The impulsive person, before you know it, that person who just spent about £500 on jogging bottoms and trainers and smartwatches and 2 dozen eggs for smoothies. They've quit that activity. It's the 7th or 8th or 9th of January. And already They've moved on to the next activity or the next trend. They are enticed into something else very quickly. Jesus spoke of the spiritually impulsive person. Think of the crowds that were willing to follow Jesus until things got tough. Hear me now. Even he is talking about the shallow hearers in this massive crowd that gathered here by the Sea of Galilee. Many of them at this time would also prove to be shallow hearers. Here is the one who hears the gospel and responds openly to the gospel and emotionally to the gospel. But listen, troubles and trials come, and that's it for them. They're out the door. They are gone. You see, many people make spur of the moment decisions, and then they are gone. Others go from one great meeting to another, but with no real commitment. They are like spiritual gypsies. They are shallow hearers. The crowds are ready to gather and hear whoever is popular, but Jesus' path led him directly to the cross. Praise God. And he calls you and I to take up our cross and follow him. You see, there are many superficial believers who will just wilt away when the trials and tribulations come. These trials, let me tell you, they work perseverance into true believers, and always will. So the shallow hearers may be attracted to the blessings, the abundant life in heaven, but they don't count the cost of discipleship. Following Jesus is a call to obedience. And after we have a negative experience with the hard-hearted, we get excited when someone shows a quick response to the gospel. But without really becoming rooted in Jesus Christ, they will also wilt away. And that's where discipleship, that's where community, that's where fellowship are so, so important, incredibly vital. And we also are working on those areas here at Mossvale. Let me move on quickly, because the next person we meet in the parable, he is the compromising hearer. Yes, he is. Verse 7 of Matthew 13. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. You see, church, we have the luxury in this parable of having the explanation of the meaning that Jesus gave in private to his disciples. And he gives us that explanation in verse 22. He says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. See, for some who receive the gospel, their spiritual life is choked out by the worries of life, directly choked out. See, we have pretty much three enemies to our spiritual life: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil worked on the hard-hearted and snatched away the seed. The flesh got the best of the shallow hearer. This time, it's the cares of the world that choke out the sprouts soon after the seed has been sown and the shoots start to sprout up. Listen to this. The deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth is what ends the spiritual life of the seed that falls among the thorns, the compromising hearer. The deceitfulness of wealth, let me tell you, it is not just limited to the rich. The poor who are working hard to get away can be snatched away spiritually by wealth also. For the rich, the trap of pursuing luxuries and pleasures can choke out their spiritual life. They may even have professed to follow Christ at one time, but hey, but now there's no evidence anywhere of spiritual fruit. They have no longer any spiritual power. Their lives no longer reflect the godliness of Jesus Christ. And it is ironic what some call the good life, in fact, may actually be briars and thistles that choke out the gospel. Let me move on to our final thought here. This is the best one. The reproducing Christian. Hallelujah. Verse 8, still other seed fell in good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Verse 23, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word, understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Amen. Listen to this. Don't get down. Don't be discouraged because some people you work with are not continuing on in their walk with Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Scripture tells us some will produce spiritual fruit yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And we have a name. We have a new name for these kind of people. We are now calling them super spreaders. COVID isn't going to have it all. It's not going to work that way. We're going to call them the reproducing believer super spreaders. When researchers track down the infectors of certain issues, they can sometimes, listen to this, they can sometimes point to a few who affected the masses. Oh. You sow the gospel in the heart of just one. Just one super spreader, and they have started a spiritual movement. It's all it takes. It's exciting, I believe, when someone responds and serves Jesus and reproduces for you and I. That's what this year is going to be all about. Hallelujah. Not everyone you share the gospel with will have hardened hearts. You should have hope and faith and belief in who you are and what you're doing and what you're saying. Peter said to Jesus in John chapter 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, you have the words. You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You have the words. There are those who receive the gospel for what it is, the words of eternal life. You don't always know when the seed has fallen on good soil. Mm-hmm. That's why we sow in hope. We sow in hope. We're anticipating the gospel seed to fall on good soil in a receptive, open heart. And when it does, we reap 100-fold. Hear me this morning. We will have real joy. We'll have real joy when we share the gospel. There is nothing more exciting, more wonderful when he opens a door for you to share the good news and you take it. And you tell someone about what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus has done in your life. You don't have to be the most skilled, the most eloquent, the most intellectual. You just have to have this passion. People pick up your passion and your love for Jesus Christ. So we will have real authentic joy when we share the gospel. It may not always be easy to go out and share the love of Christ with others, but I'll tell you a truth. There was joy, great joy in doing so. I'm going to invite the band to come back at this time. I want you to meditate on this verse this week. I want you to write this down. You're taking notes and meditate in Psalm 126, verse 6. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. The more you share Jesus Christ, the more seed that will fall on the good soil. Would you just close your eyes with me for a second? I want to challenge you. We have a responsibility. And some of us can be subdued and shy, and some of us have got the nature of an introvert, and we don't think we've got the words to say, the things to do. But I want to challenge our church to be different. And in being different, things will become different. So if you've heard this today, and like I said, this doesn't come from a place of condemnation. It comes from the place of challenge and encouragement. It's a wake-up call to our God-given responsibility. If you feel this has spoken to you, and you want to be obedient to God in this, and be part of this vision, before I pray, and then we worship God for a minute or so longer, if it's for you, if it's for you, just stand where you are. No altar calls, just stand where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to make a difference, Lord, with my life. We only get one shot at this. You only get one shot at this. This is our stage. This is it. And if we keep missing it, and if we keep expecting others to do it, the chances are there's other, the other parable says some will slip through the net. And we will not be responsible for that. Because if the Holy Spirit puts that person into your arena or into your area, and we're not responsive to that. So if this word's for you and you want to step up and be the evangelist that God's called you to be, I'm going to pray just in 1 second with you guys. Then we're going to worship God together. Hallelujah. 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 By the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as the seeds of the gospel are scattered and planted today, that they would land in good soil, hallelujah. Cause them to bear good fruit. Father, scare away the crows. Enrich the rocky soil. Strangle the weed instead. Give us rich, healthy soil ready to receive the gospel in Jesus' name. And Father, forgive us for the times that we've disappointed you. Forgive us when we've missed the mark. Forgive us when we've come up short of your expectations of us. So we pray now for more fresh, new opportunities. Father, there are so many people in this world today who are so distracted by the pursuit of money, or by their screens, they don't even know you're right there next to them, calling them. Calling them to the greatest adventure ever. Life eternal with Jesus. So Father, please overcome these distractions. I pray you get some people's attention today. Wow them with the gospel. Put the words in their mouths to keep their attention so they keep turning to you all the days of your life. And Jesus, I long for the opportunity to proclaim the goodness of your name. Even as I go out from today, please bring me into contact with those who have been given eyes to see and ears to hear. Direct my steps and lead me into conversations you want me to have today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we look back at the past year and we thank you for every sign of grace. We thank you for every life changed, transformed, every broken life healed, every lost person who found you. We are reminded, Lord, it's all about you. So, Father, help your church rise up and seize the day. We want to say in Jesus' name, there's no no-go areas for you, Jesus. No people that can't be reached, no chains that can't be broken, so send us out. Send us out this year. Bring light and bring hope and bring love from us to the lost, wherever you choose to send us, wherever our location is. May we be salt and light in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remain standing, if you will, guys. We're going to worship.